Luke chapter 5 today. Again, we're glad if you're visiting with us for the very first time. And it's our habit to work our way through books of the Bible. We're in the book of Luke on Sunday mornings and in the book of 1 Samuel on Sunday nights. So a little bit of variety there from morning to evening. And I hope you'll make it your pattern to set aside Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night to be here in services. Each service is a little bit different and provides a different angle of study in the Word of God. And I desire to be able to give good substance from the Word in each and every service. And don't know that I always accomplish that, but that is our desire. And I pray that we'll take what we learn here in the messages and we'll take those things out into the workforce and into our arena of life, and that God will mightily use us to influence this area for the Lord. Luke chapter 5 this morning, this is one of my favorite stories in all of the Bible. And I don't know what it is about the story. I've been energized and excited to be able to come to this passage. And so we want to reflect on this story. There is so much that can be said. And I know that there have been many messages preached from this story. It's probably very familiar to you as well, but I pray that God will bring new insight and application for each one of us this morning. Luke chapter 5, begin reading in verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Very appropriate song this morning in special music today. And a very appropriate passage to look at as we begin the home stretch towards missions conference. And almost with each recurring missions conference, I wish that I were the mission speaker. But I have 51 other weeks of the year to preach on missions. So we'll try to do a little bit of that in with this message this morning. Let's pray. We'll ask God's blessings upon the message today. Father, thank you for the opportunity to look at this passage. Thank you for this story. Thank you for the challenge that it has been in my life. And I thank you for the many times that I've heard other men preach from this very story. And I pray that as I direct people's thoughts to this passage today, that you would stir our hearts anew for what is said here in these verses. There are many today that would be in much the same position as these fishermen. And we'll look at it more in depth in just a moment, but we'd find ourselves much in their plight. We'd find ourselves much in their at the crossroads of the choice that they were about to make. And I pray that you would use the message to help each one, whether it be a young person today that's in the valley of decision or an adult. I pray that they would see your hand at work. They would trust your hand when they cannot see. Lord, I pray that you direct my thinking in the message this morning and direct my speaking alike. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Again, this is one of my favorite stories. And maybe you'd say to me, well, why is it one of your favorite stories? I'm not sure why. I just love reading and meditating upon the circumstances that we find in this passage. Now, I believe with all of my heart that there is application in the message today for every single person that's gathered in the auditorium. I believe that all of us could be found in the midst of these verses. Could we say that we're like the crowd that were so pressing upon the Lord Jesus Christ that we could not wait to hear more of the Word of God? It became so crowded there on the shoreline, and he had pushed back as far as he could as the crowd tried to get closer and closer and tried to take in what he had to say. And finally, he reached the point where he says to some of the men nearby, hey, can I borrow your boat? And so the Bible says that he got in that boat, and that gave the opportunity for the crowd to draw right up there to the water's edge. And he went out a little space, and that boat became the Lord's pulpit. Would we be like that part of the crowd? Would we be like the disciples who were so wearied from the night that we're mending our nets, that we're staying busy about the nature of our task, and we're investing ourselves in the day-to-day arduous nature of survival? And they go out time and again because with no harvest of the fish, there is no payment of their bills. Would we find ourselves in the spot of the disciples when the Lord says to them, launch out? Where might we be in the middle of this story? Where are you today? Well, let me begin by asking you this morning, and if you have pen and paper in hand, maybe you'd take just a moment to think on this question. What is your net worth? What is your net worth? Now, if you went down through the items that you and the bank own together in partnership, and you went down through the items that you still owe quite a bit on, or you went down through the items that you actually own outright, and you say, okay, now this is mine. I don't owe anyone for this. And you added up all of your liabilities, and you added up all of the assets that you have. Where might you fall in this matter of your net worth? Now, while you're having to carry the one and carry the nine and add this and add that and multiply here and trying to digest the size of the number that you're coming up with right now, and even as I speak, you're quickly pulling out your cell phone and going through the apps that detail your net worth because you have it right at your fingertips. Let me speak to the net worth of some individuals that you might be familiar with. Bill Gates. You may have heard that name before. He's made a few dollars in his lifetime. And his net worth is $79.2 billion. $79.2 billion. Now, I think we could all write him a letter and say, can you spare a 50? The Walton family, specifically one of the children, because of Sam's and Walmart, one of the children in the Walton family, their net worth is $41.7 billion. That may cause you to stop and think the next time you shop there, do they really need any more? Why do they charge these prices when they already have so much? Michael Bloomberg, former mayor of New York City, his net worth is estimated at $35.5 billion. If my net worth were $35.5 billion, I'm not sure why I would care about being a mayor in a city. I don't know. Must be something to it. Mark Zuckerberg, you might have heard of that name. It's in the news right now. He's one of the individuals or the individual involved with Facebook. His net worth is $33.4 billion. Now, obviously, these are people that it will probably take us a few more years to equal their net worth. And my prayer is that as you get close to Mark Zuckerberg, that you'll still be a member at Fairfax Baptist Temple. That'd be all right. Brother J.K. would have a great time depositing that tithe check off of that amount. Oh, I'm not talking about our actual net worth as the world sees it. You see, I could Google these stats and I can come up with these statements to give to you this morning. And we would say, oh my goodness, I can't even fathom that kind of a net worth. But I'm asking you this morning, as we consider this story, what is your net worth? And then I would ask you today, do you want to increase your net worth? Now, if you were asking that question to me financially, I would definitely say, yes, I would like to increase my net worth. And so I'd ask the question then, okay, how? How can I increase my value? How can I increase what I have in my net? How can I increase the substance of what I have? Well, I want to show to you from this passage that there were a group of individuals that went from a net worth of zero to a net worth far more than they had ever seen. What is your net worth, and are you willing today to take steps to increase your net worth? Well, then we have to answer it this way. How? From this passage, how can I increase my net worth? Number one, we notice in verses 2 and 3 that it all starts with this point. How can I increase my net worth? If I want to go from having zero in my net to having it full beyond my wildest imagination, beyond anything that I've ever seen before, if I want to go to that place and have my net so valuable to Almighty God, what is the starting place? Right here is where we start in increasing our net worth. And here it goes. Number one, give all that you currently have to God. It starts right there. Take stock of all that you have and then answer this question. Does it belong to you or does it belong to God? Take stock of your time. Does it belong to you or does it belong to God? Take stock of your treasure. Does it belong to you or does it belong to God? Take stock of all of your talents. Do they belong to you or do they belong to God? The Bible says here in verses 2 and 3 that Peter merely utilized what he had at the outset for how God might be benefited. Look at the Bible says what the Bible says in verse 2. And he saw two ships standing by the lake, and the fishermen were gone out of them. They're just sitting there idle. They were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and he prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. The first step in increasing your net worth is to trust God with what you already have. Trust God with what you already have. If I don't trust God with what I have, why is God ever going to give me more that I might use in a greater way? Do you remember the passage here in the New Testament where the Bible says, to whomsoever much is given, much shall be required? Do you remember the story of the three men with their talents? The Bible says the first one given 5 talents, and he used those talents, and God doubled them. The second one given 2 talents, and he used those talents, and God doubled them. The last man had 1 talent, and he went and hid it. And it's interesting, the end of that story, the Bible declares that God said, take the 1 talent from him that wasted it, and give it to the one that's got that other set of talents. Add it to what he's already doing. Why? Because I am responsible for that which God has already placed into my care and into my hands. If Peter was going to be unwilling to let Jesus use his boat for a pulpit, he was never going to launch out into the deep. So I ask you again, what do you have right now that you're holding back from Almighty God? Many years ago when we had the bus ministry and it was going guns a-blazing and so forth, it became so large that we had to rent a public high school and utilize the public high school for all of the bus ministry. And there were between 250, 350 young people that would come in, ages probably 4 to 5, all the way through their high school. And we rented a high school, and all the services were handled there. The Sunday school and the main service, everything was handled there, separate from our facilities on Braddock Road. As a part of that ministry, I had one bus route. I didn't have a huge bus route. I averaged between about 25 and 30 people on my bus route. Now, there were others that had so many coming in that they finally had to say, look, we cannot be drawing in or bringing in that many kids on one bus, so we're going to give you two buses. And there were bus captains that just blew it out of the water, and they had now two buses. And some of you would remember those days of bringing these young people in. But you know what? At that time, God gave me one bus route. It wasn't that big. It was about 20 to 25 kids. I was right off of Little River Turnpike. I made my visits. I had my apartment buildings and townhouses and houses. It was my responsibility. And they said, we're entrusting this area. We're entrusting you with a bus driver. We're entrusting you with a bus. And we want you to go out, bring people in, have them come safely, be there for the services, and then go home. You know what? Some Saturdays were tiresome. We had bus meeting early on a Saturday morning, and then we'd go out on visitation. There were some Sundays that were pretty difficult to be running the bus route. There were some Sundays that were very cold. And in a bus ministry setting, you know, the buses are not brand new. Some of them had heat, but it was in the summer. And some of them had air conditioning, but it was in the winter. And they just said to me, look, you're one of all of these individuals going out and ministering in a bus ministry, and you have responsibility over this group. You know, I look back at that time, and I look back at it very favorably, and I look back with many great memories of bringing children in, seeing them walk an aisle, trusting Jesus Christ as their Savior, coming week after week after week, and I look back with great joy. But I recognize this. If I had not done what I should do in that arena, it is well nigh unlikely, if not impossible, that God would have ever taken me beyond that. You see, everything that I have in life belongs to God in reality. Now, there are many that are sitting in the midst of this auditorium that think that they own all their stuff. And so they're the most depressed when it gets taken away. But in truth, everything that we have belongs to God. And God has asked us to be stewards of all of those things that pass through our hands. Well, how long are you going to have it? I don't know, but I want to be a faithful steward. The first matter of increasing our net worth is to start right here and to say, okay, what do I have right now that God could be using? What do I have right now? There are some sitting in the auditorium, and right now you know full well that you could bring your instrument on Sunday mornings and join the orchestra. It's within your grasp. It's in your hands. I'm not asking you to be a missionary in Africa the week after you join the orchestra. I'm just asking you to bring your trumpet, bring your... Brother Vandenberg can tell us whatever we need, and you bring it, and you just start playing. Now, there are some of you that are petrified that if you join the choir the next week, you're singing a solo here. There is half a reason why my wife and I do not sing duets here. And I'm the half of the reason that we don't sing. She has a wonderful voice. But there's a reason why we do not sing duets. There's a reason why that will never happen. It would be a bad idea. We would have to put out Facebook announcements and say, look, you do not want to be... Well, maybe you'd want to be here, but it would be the last time you'd be here. We don't want that. But listen, there are many of you that have great voices. And you join the choir and just start ministering in this way. There are many men that are sitting here in the church. And you're here week after week after week. And you would give of your time and energy to usher. Or to greet. Or to just say hello. I'm asking, what's in your power? What's in the capacity of what you already have? What's there? When you look down at your tithes and offerings, do you faithfully give off of what God has blessed you with? Say, Pastor, if I win the lottery, I'm going to start tithing. Do you know what, my friend? If you're not faithful on a dollar, you will never be faithful on a million. One of the things we started in our home when I became aware of a different terminology. I know growing up, everybody was thinking allowance, 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 allowance. And we became familiar with the terminology of commissions. And so in our home, early on, we started, and my oldest son was probably 5 or 6, maybe, when we started commissions. And so we started with our boys and we gave them, I think they started $1 a week. And on their commissions, when they received $1 a week, they had responsibility to clean their own room. They had responsibility to oversee their room because that's where they lived in our house. And so they're going to keep it picked up. They're going to govern that and so forth. And that's their room, their responsibility. But then they also had household chores. But we did not give them an allowance. We gave them commissions because they were also in the labor force. Now, there was never going to be a union. There was never going to be any turmoil between the boss and the employees or anything like that. But we started them with $1. And here's what I did. I said, boys, when you get $1, you're going to tithe half of your dollar. Well, Pastor, the Bible only calls for 10% and tithes and offerings. Well, I said, let's start out this way. Well, through the years, they've been given increases and so forth. And this is actually, I would encourage parents to do this because it's pretty fascinating. The boys, at the time of normal salary increases, they'd come and they'd say, you know, Dad, we've been thinking. And so they would get raises in their commissions and they'd receive them every week. But we started out with, and again, continued all the way through, they give half of whatever they get in commissions. And let me just be honest with you, that's forced upon them. As their dad and their mortgage holder, the one that's directing their utilities and water, I've said to them, I want you to tithe in this manner. And they break up that tithe and they give themselves. I'm not telling you that to brag. That's nothing to brag about. But it was our desire to instill in them an understanding, whenever God blesses you, you in turn do right by God. Can I tell you something? Churches are struggling financially because the coming generations are primarily takers and they've never been taught to be givers. And so, and again, please do not misunderstand me. I'm not casting this stone categorically across millennials. But I'm saying you will notice in many churches on the backs of the older generation, things have been provided. And then the younger generation will come in and they begin to suck all of the stuff away from the older generation. But they're not doing what is necessary to continue to maintain all of the stuff. I do not lay that blame at the feet of churches. I lay that blame at the feet of parents. Because we have not taught our children to be faithful with the dollar that comes in from what they sold yesterday in the yard sale. We've not told them to be faithful because grandma yesterday gave them a $5 bill for watering her plants while she was on vacation for 3 days. We've let them pocket all of that funding, and we've never taught them, listen, be faithful to God with every bit of increase that He gives. You say, oh man, I didn't come this morning to hear a message on tithing and giving. That's good, because I'm not preaching a message on tithing and giving. I just want to encourage you to be in a position with Almighty God where God pours out His blessings from heaven, and I know He'll never do that when you have a clenched fist on all of your resources. So, Mom, Dad, what's the best time to be teaching your children about giving? When they have very little. When they have little, but they look down and they say, man, I cannot wait for the opportunity to give. In the coming couple of weeks, we're going to discuss the matter of faith promise giving. And really, I believe that every young person and every teenager and every young adult and every adult and every senior adult, I believe everyone that's a part of FBT should have a faith promise commitment card and should be giving through missions. When missions rolls around, our boys will both fill out their faith promise commitment card. My wife and I will fill out our card. Why? Because God has entrusted us with resources and we want to be involved in what He's doing around the world. I remember when my wife and I first started in Florida and I was a single youth pastor for about 4 months or 5 months or so before my wife and I got married. And in my first job there on staff down in Lakeland, Florida, I was paid $325 a week. $325 a week as a youth pastor. Well, that's $325 more a week than I had when I was in college. And so I was like, okay, this is fantastic. I set up my amounts and everything like this. And I just said, okay, this is good. Well, then when we got married, we doubled our household income. And she was making about the same amount. And I told her through our marriage, honey, never feel bad about making a ton of money. I will be happy with that. So we had a good joke about that. Well, you know, I think we've moved a bit beyond that. But I tell you what, God has always been faithful to us when we've been faithful with whatever was little or whatever was more. If you would desire to increase your net worth, partner with God and watch what He can do. If you want your net worth to remain stagnant, if you want your net worth to be absolutely zero, as it was for this crowd, then take a clenched fist and wrap it tightly around all you have. But I believe with all of my heart that God is looking down at us and saying, okay, what do they have in their hand? What could they be using for my honor and my glory? Number one, give all that you currently have to Almighty God. Number two, if you want to increase your net worth, not only do we give all that we currently have to God, but number two, we listen to His challenge. Look what the Bible says in verse number four. As they gave the boat and God said, launch out or thrust out a little from the land, He sat down and He taught the people out of the ship. Now listen to the command now from God. The first statement is to thrust out a little. But here's the next statement. Now when He had left speaking, He said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. The first matter to increase your net wealth or your net worth is to give everything that you currently have to Almighty God. Boy, you want to increase and increase and increase. Give everything to Almighty God. Say, dear God, this belongs to You. It's all Yours. My house is Yours. My cars are Yours. My clothing is Yours. Everything that I have, everything that I am belongs to You, Almighty God. You want to increase your net worth? The second thing is to listen to God's challenge. Listen to what He says. He challenges them and He moves them from thrusting out a little to launching out into the deep. I am confident that this is still the call of Almighty God. I am confident that He is still looking for people that are willing to launch out. There are enough people that are willing to take their boats and to thrust out a little. But God is still in the business of looking out amongst congregations just like this. And He's calling the people and He's saying, won't you launch out? I know you're willing to do what is close by. I know you're willing to thrust out a little. But are you willing to launch out beyond what others have already done? Oh my goodness, folks, as I look into the eyes of person after person after person, there are so many ways for us to launch out that we might do more. There is so many different ways for us to accomplish more for the work of the Lord, for us to accomplish more in His vineyard, for us to do more around here, to do more around the globe. And God is looking for people today that are willing to launch out. Now, don't misunderstand. It's very easy to thrust out a little. It is very easy to be right there at the shoreline and to still be able to jump out of the boat and walk to safety. It's very easy for us to be in that position where we can still see everything. And we still have the resources and we still have all these things that are under our control. But if you launch out into the deep, that becomes a bit more difficult. Now, I don't know if many of you have ever snorkeled before, but I've been with teenagers at different times and I've had them snorkeling. And it's interesting when you're first teaching that young person to snorkel and they start out by putting the mask on and they just dip their face in water. And they're like, woo, is that it? And I'm like, no, put on your fins, put on the hose or the tube. And let's go a little bit further. Oh, Pastor. I had this one young man that went with us on a trip and he was scared to death of water, scared to death of swimming. He didn't want anything to do with it. But he watched how everybody was enjoying snorkeling. He's like, I've at least got to see this. And so as the days passed, we were on a mission trip. and the days passed. And he got a little bit more encouraged, and he got a little bit more courage going into it, I guess you'd say. And so he started out just by dipping his mask and his face down in the water. He saw a little bit of fish. And he's like, okay, I think I'd like to put the mask on. Then he put on the tube or the snorkel, and he puts it in his mouth. Now he's just moving his head around just like this, but he's still on the ground. And I said, come on with me a little bit further. So we go out a little bit further. He sees more fish and he's like, man, this is pretty cool, but I can still touch. But I tell you what, the time comes that you can get into some deeper water. You begin to get into 15 feet of water, 20 feet of water, 30 feet of water. You can't necessarily see the bottom, but you're still in pretty clear water. But now if the time comes that you're a little bit foggy in your mask or something's going on, you've got to learn to just hold yourself up, clean your mask, and you cannot touch the ground. And I'm telling you, your heart can get a little bit rapid in its pace. And I know everybody here in the room is comfortable with taking their stuff and thrusting out a little. Well, Pastor, I've been thrusting out a little now for a while. I'm content to be a substitute teacher for the children's ministry. And I don't mind that, Pastor. I mean, I can handle that. I can handle those 10 kids for a set amount of time. I can read the Bible story. I can get the curriculum and I can do this. But taking on a class, oh, no. You don't understand that. I mean, for me, that'd be launching into the deep. Oh, Pastor, I don't mind giving someone a track, but the thought of ever telling them how they can know for sure that they're on their way to heaven. I could never sit down and go through the plan of salvation with someone where they would hear of Jesus Christ and know for sure that they're on their way to heaven. I could never accomplish that. I'll give them a track. You know, if we're not careful, we can become very comfortable in thrusting out a little. But God desires for you to launch out into the deep. He desires for you to launch out into the deep. Is there something that is holding you back? Something that is keeping you from launching out? Is it a family member? Is it a friend? Is it a relationship? Is there something that's keeping you from launching out into the deep? You know, I've heard testimonies of individuals. And they said, you know, I believed for years that God was calling me, and you fill in the blank. God was working in their hearts. God was definitely putting it on their heart to launch out. But there was some person, place, or thing that was hindering them. And that just kept them in that place where they just were satisfied with thrusting out a little. When God says, I want you to launch out, I'll never see the miraculous when there's a contentment in the shoreline. You want to increase your net worth, number one, give all that you currently have to Almighty God. You want to increase your net worth, number two, listen to His challenge. Launch out into the deep. And number three, if you want to increase your net worth, if you desire to truly increase your net worth, stop viewing what is possible in your own strength. As we look forward to Missions Conference, I'm looking at it and I'm saying, well, I believe this is possible for Fairfax Baptist Temple. I believe that it's possible for us to house this many missionaries. And I believe it's possible for us to listen to this many missionaries. And I believe it's possible for us to see this amount of work accomplished in one missions conference. And so, in all honesty with you, listen, I've thrust us out a little ways from the shore. Now, we've got some missionaries that are coming to us that have quite a few kids. And for some of the people in our church that are housing those families, they're thrusting out into the deep. They're launching out. And they're going to care for those missionary families and bless God. Praise the Lord for them. We're thrusting out a little in hosting these missionaries with us here in the next couple of weeks. But you know, I remember a day that FBT launched into the deep. And we had 50 missionaries with us for Missions Conference. Now just let your mind wrap around that for a moment. Is that additional headache? Yes. Is that additional trouble? Yes. Wouldn't it have been easier to just keep it in the pew and keep it right there by the shoreline where it all makes sense and you've just got your mask and your snorkel down the water? Wouldn't it just make sense? Yes. But I'd sure like for the day to come that we stop viewing everything through what we can do in and of our own strength. And we launch out into the deep and we see what God can accomplish. Say, well, Pastor, we'd be happy to have 50 missionary families this year if they're staying at your house. I don't know all the ways that God can accomplish the miraculous through us here in 2018, but I know this. Whatever that box might be that contains what can be accomplished in my own strength is not anywhere near the size of the box of what God can do when He begins to undertake it. Now look at these men. The Bible says here for us here in verse number 5, Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. What is he saying? Master, I'm exhausted. That's the last thing I want to do. We've just mended our nets. We've just cleaned up from the night. And by the way, the reason we were out at night is because that's the time to catch. It's not the time to catch right now. We're exhausted and we have this experience that we brought in no fish. And when we brought in no fish in the best time to go out fishing, what makes you think we're going to do any better in the worst time to be fishing? He's looking at everything through what he's done in and of himself. And you know what? With that mindset, your net worth will stay exactly where it is today. They were experienced, they were exhausted, and they were empty. They had caught nothing. There's nothing to show for the night's worth of toil. Without fish, they don't eat. Without fish, they don't pay their bills. Without fish, they don't care for their families. No doubt, someone in that midst of fishermen said to somebody else who made the choice of where they were going to be fishing, no doubt this comment was made. I told you we shouldn't have gone there. We never catch anything there. That was a wasted night. That was a worthless investment. And when you start considering what can be accomplished in and of your own resources, I tell you what, there's going to be a limitation to that box. But the Bible says that when you allow God to do the work through you, with God, there is nothing that is impossible. Nothing that is impossible. How many times have we viewed God's ability through the glasses of our own strength? And I see, okay, that's possible because I can do that. But I tell you what, I'd like to see God accomplish the impossible. In the book of Judges, in Judges chapter 7, a story that we've recently dealt with in elementary chapel, as we dealt with the kids there in the story of Gideon. You know, in the story of Gideon, that the Midianites had over 100,000 in their army. And so Gideon puts out a call and he says, I need all of Israel to come and to respond to this call. And he got 32,000 men that would respond to his call. Now, 32,000 against over 100,000, and God said it's too many. You see, Gideon's box said, we can win this victory. Now, one man will have to take out about four other men, but these 32,000 can win the victory. And God said, you have too many. And so 22,000 of them left. Now they're down to 10,000. It was about one man for every 10 or 11 men. So now the one man's got to take out 11 or so men, and God still says, that's too many. Inside of their box, of their own resources, I've got enough. I can still win the victory. And God said, no, it's still too many. And so he sent him down by the river, and he had him drink, and there were 300 that drank the way that God had set forth. And those 300 men were then the nucleus of how God was going to deliver those armies into their hands. Now, on the surface, in their own strength, there was no point in time at this stage where Gideon would have said, okay, do the math, my guys can handle this. It was clear that if this was going to take place, it was going to be because God did the work. My friend, if you and I are going to increase our net worth, we must stop viewing what is possible in and of our own strength. Number four, if we're going to accomplish what God desires for our life and increase our net worth, number four, we must obey the word of the Lord in every detail. Look what the Bible says in verse number six. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net break. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. Lord, have I gone out far enough? Is this good enough? No, go further. Lord, is this far enough? I mean, we've toiled to get out here. No, go further. Do you see they had to put the nets down in his spot? They had to put down the nets on his side. They had to obey God right away. They had to obey God in his way. And I wonder how many times we've missed out on the impossible because we did not obey. Now, I desire to increase my net worth. I hope you desire to increase your net worth. But if that's going to take place, then we're going to have to obey God. Number five, increasing our net worth. Do you have that desire? Number one, give everything back to Almighty God. Give it all to Him. Trust Him with your resources and with what you already have. Number two, listen to His challenge. Launch out into the deed. Number three, stop viewing what is possible with your own strength. Number four, obey the word of the Lord in every detail. Number five, verses 8 and 9, humbly acknowledge His power in accomplishing the impossible. The Bible says in verses 8 and 9, look there with me. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him. Humbly acknowledge God's power in directing the impossible. Don't ever think that anything that is accomplished here at FBT is in and of our own doing. To God be the glory, great things He hath done. Remember, the Bible says in John chapter 15, without me ye can do what? Nothing. May we never look around at a result. May we never look around and say, my, aren't we and God a great partnership? God has afforded us the opportunity to merely serve. Peter was obedient. Peter dropped the net. Peter brought in the harvest. But God was the one that gave the increase. If you would desire to increase your net worth, walk in humility. And acknowledge His desire to work through the humble. The Bible says in James chapter 4 and verse number 6, God resisteth the proud but giveth grace to the humble. Can I give you one more this morning? Number 6. If you would desire to increase your net worth, then know this. Whatever He wants you to do with your life will be infinitely more valuable than anything that you want to do. Look with me at verses 10 and 11. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. I don't have time to develop this thought further, but let's cut this matter wide open. As Peter's taking the nets and lowering them there on the side of his ship, and then bringing in this haul of fish, he in no way could envision that in Acts chapter 2, he would be preaching and that over 3,000 people would get saved. No way. There is no way that he was lowering those nets, obeying the word of the Lord, launching into the deep. There is no way he was thinking to himself, hey, in just a matter of a few years, I'm going to be preaching and 3,000 are going to get saved in one day. No way. Right now, you're fulfilling your role, your responsibility, your God-given task. You have a place of employment. You're providing for your family. You're faithful with your resources. You're doing what God wants you to do. But I'm saying to everyone that's gathered here in this auditorium, no matter your age, if you will give your life to Almighty God and do what He wants you to do, that life will be of infinite more value than anything that you can come up with. I don't care what it is. Parents, never fear when your child comes to you and says this, Mom, Dad, I want to do what God wants me to do with my life. Oh, can't believe you said that. Well, you're going to live in poverty. You're sucking off of other people the rest of your life. Probably be on Skid Row with a sign, I'm in the ministry, have to feed family, please help. If your kids come to you and say, Mom, Dad, I believe I want to do exactly what God wants me to do with my life, whatever that is, you jump up and down, scream as loud as you can, blow the roof off of your house, and say, praise God that my child's learned this early, that God's calling and God's path are more valuable in your net worth than anything that we would do of our own free will. More often than not, people are just downtrodden and disheartened. Well, my kid said he wants to be in the ministry. Penniless. miserable. My daughter said she wants to marry a preacher. Oh, that's the worst decision that you can make. Please don't tell my wife that. She said when we first dated, she said this, you can ask her afterwards. We went on a date. I thought we had a great time. I thought it was probably one of the best dates she'd ever had in college. But she went back to the dorm room and she said, I had a nice time. He's a nice guy, but I'll never marry him. He's going in the ministry. But thankfully, God changed her heart, right? Don't be sad, mom and dad, that your kids are called to ministry. Don't be sad that your kid comes and says to you, that your child comes to you and says, Mom, Dad, I believe that God wants me to take these steps because I believe God wants this to be the direction of my life. Don't be sad about that. Rejoice. Because that young person is identifying that they're more concerned with what God says about their net worth than what the world says about their net worth. You're taking stock this morning of your net worth. What is it worth? The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 21, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I desire for every person that's gathered here in this auditorium to on this day increase their net worth. Well, that starts by giving everything that you have to Almighty God. Maybe that's where you are this morning. That's the level that you're at today. And you need to give all that you currently have to God. Maybe there are some sitting here in the auditorium and you just have not been listening for His challenge. He challenges every one of us to launch out into some new investment, into some new way. Maybe you've never served in any area of ministry, but God is saying to you, launch out. Move away from the shoreline. Try something. Yes, maybe you'll fail. Maybe you won't go that long in the Sunday school class. Maybe the kids will be like, I've never heard that kind of a teaching before in a Sunday school class. But launch out. See what God might do. Stop viewing what is possible in your own strength. If it's only my strength, it's limited by what is possible. But if God's on board, I'm united with the impossible. Obey the word of the Lord when He says to launch out. Put it down on His side. Follow His way. Do what He wants you to do. And then in the end, humbly acknowledge He is the omnipotent. He's the one that's accomplished this. And then know that whatever He wants you to do in this life will be infinitely more valuable than anything that you desire to do. What is your net worth? What is your net worth when you've toiled all by yourself? Those fishermen had been out all night and they looked down at their nets and they were empty. But what is your net worth when God gets on board? Let's pray.